For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
I want to hear cannons. Outfield, pull up, ball to the five, touchdown Tampa Bay. Mike Evans does it again. Fire the cannons, Bucks.
It's first and goal. That's picked off. And who else? Rondé Barber. And the Tampa Bay Buccaneers may ride to the Super Bowl with that one.
Third down, 18. Dropping Gannon, looking Gannon, looking Gannon. Throws up a bit.
That's intercepted. Derek Brooks, 30. Brooks to the 29. He's 20. Gone. Derek Brooks all the way. There it is. The dagger's in. We're going to win the Super Bowl.
And there the cannons go. Fire them. Keep on firing them.
Welcome back, Bucks fans, to a brand new edition of the Cannon Fire Podcast. I'm your host, as always, Rip Matthew. Joined alongside me, my good buddy and co-host from BucksNation.com, Evan Wanish. We are 2 days removed from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers loss on the road to the Indianapolis Colts, and we're going to break down everything we know, the latest headlines and more heading into this week's game against the Carolina Panthers, who just fired their head coach in Frank Reich after a 1-10 start. So an interim head coach is on the slate with a rookie quarterback to boot. We'll talk about that more on the game preview this week, but really what we're here to talk about today is a lot of the reactions after Sunday's loss from both the media, from players, the quarterback, the head coach, some of the other players in the locker room. It's kind of a state of the Bucks show. You know, it's that point of the season where we made it clear how we felt after Sunday's loss. Kind of felt like that was it. You know, that was the loss that, at least for me, has taken the wind out of my sails. Now, the Bucks still have 6 games left on the season, 4 of those being divisional games, so still have a shot at the postseason. As weird as that is to say with a 4-7 record, but a very uncertain state of affairs right now for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Evan.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, obviously it's being at 4-7, you're in a do or die situation now. I mean, you know, pretty much going to be do or die from here on out, and hopefully, you know, they're able to right the ship here soon. Because if they can't, you know, it's going to be a lot of jobs out and a lot of people that are going to be out. So, and like we talked about in the last episode, like there's going to be a lot of changes if this team, you know, doesn't win any more games, doesn't make the playoffs, you know, stuff like that. Like there's going to be a lot of changes. So, you know, being 4-7, losing 2 straight, you're just hoping that it doesn't snowball, which I know is a big, big famous quote that Todd Bowles had. I believe was that after the Atlanta game? I think it was.
It was after one of those losses, but no, he was actually asked about that comment as recently as this week. And Todd said that he doesn't think it has snowballed. His words.
Yeah. I don't quite understand. I don't think he knows what snowballed means, but because to me, this is the kind of losing 6-7 is kind of the definition of snowballed. But yeah, I mean, it's you got to try and stop the bleeding. And, you know, they have a pretty good opportunity at doing that this week against Carolina. Like you said, like this isn't the preview show. We're not going to get too much into Carolina specifically. This, you know, today is more about just the Bucks, not necessarily about that matchup. But they do have an opportunity this Sunday to snap that losing streak and to potentially get a pretty big division win right now. You know, they're 1-1 in the division. You have a chance to go over 500 in your division. And, you know, it's going to be tough. I mean, they need to win 3 games just to even get back to 500. So it's going to be tough sledding from here on out. And like, you know, 9-8, like that's not likely at all. Like going 5-1 down the stretch, like this team's not going 5-1 down the stretch. Like there's no way. So I think right now you're just hoping that if you're a fan that wants to win the NFC South, one, I don't blame you. Like I don't blame the fans who at this point are just ready to see the season be done. Like I get both sides. But if you're a fan who wants to win the NFC South, be prepared to probably do it with an 8-9 record, and you just gotta hope, you know, the Saints and Falcons can't win many more ball games, because if they do, it's not really going to matter.
Tampa Bay losers of their last 6 out of 7 games. And people are running out of patience. People are getting fed up. And most recently, we got some harsh message, a harsh word, from the quarterback, Baker Mayfield. After the loss in Indy, Baker Mayfield had some harsh words for the rest of the team, specifically guys he does not think are taking things seriously enough. Maybe that's what was gathered from this quote. But it is pretty telling about where the Bucs are. It's hard to fake the funk when you are 4-7, and as I mentioned, losers of your last 6 out of 7 games. But Baker said, quote, "Until everybody gets pissed off enough to get it fixed, there will be no changes. I know where I'm going to head at the end of this week. I'll get my job fixed and try to drag as many people along with me as well." To boot, here's a quote from Todd Bowles. Todd Bowles acknowledges mistakes keep happening, but says they're happening from different people in different situations each week. Quote, "It shouldn't be. It's things we've done every day. We've done right hundreds of times, and at a certain point in time, it doesn't get done." Now, aside from that being coach talk 101, kind of, you know, saying a lot without saying nothing at all, between what Todd Bowles has said at multiple points this season, he's alluded before to maybe some starters not putting in as much effort, but between that and what Baker Mayfield has to say, we learn more and more about this Bucs team week after week. And, you know, a week like this, it does not seem to be any good news at all coming from this camp. And this is the first time all season where we almost have to call the locker room into question. This is the first time in, I think, 4 years, maybe the Buccaneers locker room has been brought into question, because we're talking about execution errors. We're talking about starters on the team not necessarily pulling their weight. So the million-dollar question, Evan, and I'll toss it over to you. Where are the leaders in this locker room? Because at this point, it doesn't sound like anyone's being held accountable week after week on a very bad Buccaneers football team.
Yeah, you know, I think Scott Reynolds of Pewter Report kind of laid it out best. I think it was in his two-point conversion column that he did, and he kind of pointed out that you look at a lot of the leaders, Mike Evans, can be a rah-rah guy at times, can be a little bit fiery, but most of the time is a good guy, right? He's a happy-go-lucky kind of guy. Chris Godwin, same way. Tristan Wirfs is just an all-shucks, you know, kind of guy. Like, great football players. Like, you know, I'm not saying they're bad, but, like, their personalities in the locker room, that's what they are. You know, Levante David is a lead-by-example, quiet kind of guy, right? Devin White is sort of that fiery guy, but that doesn't work as much when you're not playing well. Baker Mayfield is sort of that guy. But when you look at it, those are the leaders. Where are the, you know, Scott Reynolds labeled it, where are the pricks, right? Where's the guy? He talked about Jason Pierre-Paul and Ndamukong Suh for the last, you know, few years that they were here, right? Those guys were in the locker room. Like, and they weren't being like a-holes to like their teammates on, like, intentionally, obviously, but like that type of person that like isn't gonna let stuff slide. And that is what I think this team's missing. They don't need the star player to go out and do it, but they're missing the guys who are willing to say, hey, like, enough of this, you know, and they're just to put an end to it. And right now, they don't have enough of those guys at all.
Set the expectation and hold people accountable. You know, it is what it is. We've heard some stories. I'm sure that there's a lot of stories we haven't heard and probably won't ever hear, but I hate to keep bringing it up. I know people get tired of hearing about it, but the Tom Brady era, guys were held accountable. We've heard stories about how guys like Leonard Fournette clearly did not have the right mindset, didn't really want to be here. You know, that 2020 season, right around December, right around that last-minute push for the postseason where the Bucs...
It was almost around this point in 2020.
He was almost cut. Bruce Arians came to him, and as a man, I mean, this is the head coach, so maybe he had some other players saying things to him, but at the end of the day, he did not have the right mindset to be here. Like, he didn't want to be here. You know, he wasn't fulfilled with his role. He didn't feel like it was paying off for him. So that led to not as much production as we would have liked to see on the field. And that's a losing mentality, and you don't need that. And that's what this Bucs locker room has been without time and time again. But now, the more that we hear about it this season...
Credit to Fournette, he turned it around.
He did. You know,
this Bucs team, they haven't turned it around.
He did. And credit to Fournette, we got playoff Lenny. They made a bunch of T-shirts, made a good amount of money. But there's nobody in this Bucs locker room right now, I think, who is setting the standard and then holding people accountable. Like, it's I think it's different when we talk about, you know, Bruce Arians cutting a Vernon Hargraves back in, what was it, 2019? You know, it's kind of different. Like, I don't think, you know, Devin White doesn't need to be cut. You know, guys like that who are kind of not really pulling their weight. And that's who it's being alluded to. Everything we've heard is it's not really the grinded out kind of guys. It's not the Trey Palmers. You know, it's maybe some of the guys who you would expect a lot more from. And that begs the question, ultimately, who it is. We'll never know. But, you know, you have to start pointing fingers and you have to look at the leaders first. And a lot of those leaders that we consider the veterans in this Buccaneers locker room are the guys who are being paid the most. And there's been a few of them who definitely underperformed this year.
Well, you know, you say, you know, we'll never know. I think we might find out because I think you're going to see who's here and who's not next year. And I think that'll give you a little bit of a clue as to what exactly, you know, Baker Mayfield's referring to or Todd Bowles is referring to. Remember, I think
it was Tristan Wirfs.
I think what was it either last year or this year, Todd Bowles had said something along the lines of guys are still, you know, riding their coattails off the Super Bowl win. I think it was last year. So like this may have been an issue last year. And if you connect the dots on who was on the team last year versus this year and who's potentially not on the team next year, I think we can all infer without saying names. We're not here to accuse anybody. Like we're not going to sit here and say it's definitely this guy. If you guys want to do it in the comment section, go ahead. But like we're not going to sit here and point out names because no name was given, right? And no name will ever be given like publicly, but you can infer from clues as to who may be on the roster bubble for next year, who may not be back. You can infer who it is. And you know, that's an issue. I mean, that's a serious issue. And it's something that, you know, at this point in the season, probably not going to get fixed. Like,
yeah,
probably not going to get. And also that falls on the head coach because Bruce Arians, if Bruce Arians was in this situation, it wouldn't happen this way.
Yes, because the only reason this is an issue at this point in the season, I mean, it is almost we're 3 days away from December. You know, the only reason it's an issue is because clearly whoever it is doesn't fear repercussions from the head coach. You know, they don't fear consequences of just not showing up and doing their job. Like, that's what it sounds like to me. Again, I don't want to make too many assumptions here, but it's definitely an interesting point to come up this week because the frustration is visible. Todd Bowles, it definitely falls on him. You know, these players may like him, they may respect him, but if he's more of a friend than a coach, then you're going to have guys who underperform because they're not scared about what Todd's going to do. And this is a tweet from Rick Stroud, who does a really good job of kind of wrapping this up here. He talks about Todd Bowles and that quote about acknowledging mistakes and how they keep happening from different people in different situations, and it's things that shouldn't be happening, right? This and that. Well, Stroud says, quote, "If this is true, then they have misjudged the character of some players or their work ethic and or attention to detail is different now that a few have made it to a big contract. Either way, it's bad because they don't fear being held accountable by the head coach, Todd Bowles. It's damning either way. Different people making mistakes on things we've done thousands of times? Where is the leadership of this team in the locker room?" And obviously that's, you know, what my big rant was about at the beginning of the episode, but he makes a great point. And it's unfortunate because in more ways than one, we knew that losing a lot of the veteran status this team has had in previous seasons, you were going to feel it. But coming into the season, we talked about, you know, Devin White being a consummate professional and Mike Evans being a consummate professional about their contract issues. And again, that's not who this is about. But I really thought that this was like a cohesive enough unit to where this locker room wasn't going to be an issue at all. But again, they have lost six out of their last seven games, so it's hard to not be frustrated, especially if you are a player in that locker room.
Yeah, but at the same time, you know, you talk about, oh, they lost veterans. This is Devin White's fifth year. You are a veteran. You know, this is Mike Evans. Is what? Is it year 10?
Yeah, year 10.
Yeah, I mean, you're well a veteran, you know. And again, we're not saying it's those guys, but like they have veterans on this team. Like Baker Mayfield is a veteran. He's 28 years old. Like, he was drafted in, what, 2018?
Well,
like, you know, they have veterans. I know what you mean. I know, like, you know, Tom Brady's not there and this and that. And, like, even, like, the Logan Ryans, you know, aren't there. Like, I get that. At the same time, though, you know, eventually, like, these kids that you drafted in 2017 and 2018 and 2019, like, they're your veterans now. Vita Vea is your veteran now. Carlton Davis is your veteran now. Jamel Dean is your veteran now. You know, all three of those guys have made it to second contracts. You know, and Devin White is coming up on a second contract. Like, those are your veterans. Those need to be your leaders. And right now, I'm not going to say that they're, you know, they're leading wrong, but it's just, I think the personalities don't quite mix. Like I said, I don't think there's that rah-rah guy. And look, not every player needs to be that, right? Like, that was a big debate, I remember, with Jameis. You know, that everybody liked the pregame speeches, but some people thought they were corny. And, like, you didn't need to be a rah-rah type of guy. You didn't need to be the guy always standing up and saying something. You know, you can lead by example. I mean, Gerald McCoy did it for years. Levante David has done it for years. I mean, you know, should be a Hall of Famer, right? Gerald McCoy, probably not a Hall of Famer, but a great career. Like, you don't have to be that type of guy, right? To do that. And I would, you know, Mike Evans, for the most part, has been that type of guy. Chris Godwin, like I mentioned earlier. The issue, though, is inside the locker room, the things that fans and media don't quite see, you know, what's going on inside that behind closed doors, that I think is where the issues are. And maybe there's some resentment and some, you know, I don't know about jealousy, but, and like you said, yeah, losing 6-7, that's what losing comes. That's what comes with losing. Right. That these types of things, these types of quotes, these types of stories, when you lose 6-7, that's what happens.
We've been here before. I think it was 2019. The Bucks had lost a ridiculous stretch of games, and Jason Pierre-Paul was like upset in the locker room because everybody was talking about the girls they were going to be taking out that night after the game, or the steak dinner they're going to go eat, the reservations, the vacation they have planned. And he was pissed. He called out the rest of the locker room. Do you remember that? Because the media was there. And we were getting updates from Jenna Lane and Greg Allman about how JPP has just taken over the locker room and really put some people in their place. And I do think, you know, a lot of the disappointment this season obviously comes from a 3-1 start. And then when you start losing quick. Like, we knew this season was going to be tough. And our buddy Lee Ayers makes a good point in the chat. He says, it's a shame how this franchise over the years, when they find success, they can never sustain it. The great play only lasts a few years, and then they collapse back into less than mediocrity. It is unstable. And that's, I mean, I would say you could say that about most teams in the NFL. You know, the winning window is only open for so long, depending on your situation. If you've got a 20-year franchise quarterback, then so be it. But clearly the Bucs weren't in that situation. We knew coming into this season it was going to kind of suck. You know, I think, again, losing the way that they have has absolutely deflated everyone, because in perfect Bucks fashion, at the beginning of the year, they get everyone's hopes up, and then they suck ass, and here we are. Still a game back in the NFC South, which is why I think when we talk about Todd Bowles here momentarily, we'll have a lot to say about that and his potential status. But I will say most of my disappointment comes from the players on this team. Sorry, I'll wrap it up with this. The players on this team who were on the Super Bowl team, who were around the veteran status, who were around Tom Brady, who saw Jason Pierre-Paul in the locker room tell everybody to get their shit together. The Levante Davids, the Mike Evans, the Devin Whites, the guys, the Will Golston. I mean, he's an underrated veteran, but he has been on this team for a long-ass time. These are guys who know what the standard was, and I'm a little disappointed that it doesn't sound like they're really stepping up and being that guy who keeps everyone in check. And maybe that has happened at some point, just not in front of the media. And maybe all we're doing here is throwing assumptions out, and you know what they say about making assumptions, but it definitely feels like, you know, we talk a lot about the leaders on this team. We talk a lot about Todd Bowles. From top to bottom, everything has been underwhelming.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, just like we're going to segue into it, it could cost Todd Bowles his job. So could very well do that. I mean, this team, you look at the 3-1 start. Here's the thing. The Vikings had 3 turnovers, right, in the week 1 game. The Bucs had 0. If the Vikings have 2 turnovers, the Bucs are probably 3-8 right now. Like, if the Vikings have 1 less turnover, or if Chase McLaughlin doesn't hit a 57 field goal, and you're talking about a potential top 4 pick, you know, if they're 3-8 instead of 4-7. Even the Bears game, yeah, they won by 10. The Bears had the ball down 3. The Bucs could have lost that game. Like, that wasn't an easy, and the Bears were playing horrible football at the time. And the Bucs were only up 3 late in the fourth quarter. And the Bears had a chance to drive. So I think, you know, the 3-1 start was a little bit of smoke and mirror. The Vikings pretty much beat themselves. And then the Bucs barely escaped the Bears. Obviously, he played a really nice game in New Orleans. Derek Carr clearly was not healthy. I mean, he's also not anymore, but like he's not healthy. So the 3-1 start was good, but at the same time, yeah, it was. I mean, it's proven right now that it was smoke and mirror real. Because if it was real, then you beat teams like Atlanta. You know, when you go up against, obviously Houston's playing great football right now, like fantastic football, probably gonna make the playoffs with CJ Stroud. But you go up with 46 seconds left, you win that game. Right. So then you beat Atlanta, you beat Houston, and you've already beaten Tennessee. You know, a 6-5 record right now. The heck, Colts, whatever. I don't remember if I had predicted the Colts win as a loss or not, but, you know, it's a game on the road, whatever. But even if you won that one, I mean, 7-4, you know, that if this team was truly good, that's what you do. You take advantage of a 3-1 start. And instead of doing that, they have just squandered it. And it is going to likely, I mean, we talked, just like you mentioned, they are a game out of the NFC South, but it is likely going to cost Todd Bowles' job.
Well, and that's what's been so brutal about this year is, I mean, the losing, obviously, but the way that they have lost and the teams that they have lost to. I mean, they've lost a lot of games, but every single week, every ounce of hope that I seem to have for the upside of this team, they just go out there and they squander it. You know, they find ways to lose football games. They give up a 75-yard game-winning drive to a rookie quarterback who sets a passing yards record because he was just tearing them up all day. They find a way to lose with two offensive possessions to march down the field and try and win the game against a Falcons team who was starting Desmond Ridder, who made two costly mistakes in that game, who for some reason the Falcons feel like he was the answer, so they threw him back in, and he almost tried to lose them that game against New Orleans last week. So I kind of have my doubts that they're going to beat that ass bucket of a team again because they couldn't do it. They couldn't do it. They lost 16-13 at home to a terrible Falcons team. Like, the Falcons are a joke, and the only teams they've really beat this year are all the guys within the division. Like, they're beating up on the NFC South. I think it's just, man, like, every week we try to hang on to this hope that they're going to figure it out this week. You know, the offense showed good signs this week, so next week they should be able to figure it out. Rashad White finally got 100 yards on the ground this week, so, you know, this should have been the week for the offense to figure it out, or the defense has been playing well even though they're hurt. Like, there's been so many different factors. But at the end of the day, this team loses because they suck. Like that's what it boils down to. The Bucs suck this year. And I cannot get myself to believe that with six games left, four of them being division games, even though they're a game back, has this team proven anything to you? Have they proven anything at all aside from the first four games? Have they proven anything to you that they can, I mean, win three out of six games here?
Look, you got New Orleans, you got Carolina twice, you got Atlanta, and you got the two non-divisional games are Jacksonville at home, like in much better football than Tampa Bay has. So, like, that's going to be a loss right now for me. Like, Green Bay is going to beat them. If both these trends continue in this way, like, Green Bay is going one way. Green Bay is going up, right? And Tampa's over here going down. Right. So I think that could probably be a loss. Jacksonville, I think, is a contender in the AFC. That's a loss. Like, are you going to sweep New Orleans again? You could, but like, I don't know. I don't know if you're going to. You mentioned you already lost to Atlanta once. Like, and that was at home. Are you going to beat them on the road? I don't know. I mean, and even freaking Carolina. Like, I do think, you know, a little spoiler for the preview. I think they're going to beat the Panthers. I actually think they're probably going to sweep the Panthers. But like, the game's going to be close. like this game is not going to be simple. I don't think. Teams with interim coaches, especially right after the coach gets fired, always seem to play with a little bit more fire, a little bit more pride. Because, you know, these are professionals and they take it on themselves. Like, they got Frank Reich fired, right? That's like in their mindset. So yeah, it's not going to be an easy game. So no, like, I can't have any faith that this team is going to end up with 8 wins even to match last year's total. And to me, if you're making the case for Todd Bowles to stick around, you went 8-9 with Tom Brady as your quarterback in year one. You got to the playoffs. You got destroyed in the playoffs. Blown out. Wasn't a close game at all. Then the next year you come back and you can't, and now you don't have Tom Brady, but you can't even match last year's record and you missed the playoffs altogether. I don't see how you keep your job after that.
Yeah, I think Todd's fucked. I said after the Colts game, or I said before the Colts game, and I stand on this, like that was the game. And I think he lost his job by losing that game. I think the only way Todd Bowles saves his job is if the Bucs somehow win 4 out of 6. Three of those need to be division games and win the NFC South to make a postseason appearance, because you simply can't fire a coach who makes it to the postseason 2 years in a row. I can't justify that. And I know that we had the Todd Bowles conversation 3 weeks ago, and my tone was different. And that's simply because I had more hope in this team. Like, I did not expect them to just keep losing. I knew it was going to be a mediocre season, but I really thought with the upside we had seen, at some point they were going to snap out of it, and they were still a good enough team to beat the teams they should beat. They are not a good enough team to beat the teams they should beat. So I can't count on them winning ever. I can't count on them winning for the rest of the year. I just don't feel like I can. I cannot go into a game telling myself, the Bucs should win. Because the only game this year that I've done that is the Titans game. And, like, we really didn't feel that great, you know, because the Titans suck. They're not good. Mm-hmm. And let's talk on the doubt of the fan base in general. Just looking ahead to a Carolina Panthers team. Like, I had a tweet go, I don't want to say viral, that sounds kind of dumb, but I had a tweet get a lot of attention because I said the Panthers are going to play like the 85 Bears next weekend. It just is. That's how the Bucks timing works out. They get an interim head coach and a rookie QB to boot. I mean, that's the perfect Buck killer formula. So there's just so much about this team that I think has changed even in the last few weeks. But that loss against the Colts for Todd Bowles, that was it. Yeah. I think he's gone if the Bucks miss the playoffs. Even if they're one game shy, I think he's donezo.
Yeah,
if the Bucks keep losing.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If they miss the playoffs, they're going to get a top 10 pick. Like, it really seems like they're on pace.
I think it's going to be quite similar to how it was last year. Like, I think there's going to be one NFC South team that makes the playoffs, and then the rest of the NFC South teams are getting top 10 picks.
Yeah.
That's how I think it's going to go down. Like, that's how it went down last year. Like, Carolina had 9. They traded up to 1, but Carolina had 9. Atlanta had 8, and I think New Orleans might have had 10. So that's how it went last year, and that's how I think it's going to go this year. Like, I think it's going to be one team makes the playoffs and the others get top 10 picks.
We can wrap up our conversation about Todd Bowles here in a second, but we do have a good question from our buddy Lee in the chat, and I'll throw this at you. He says, how much of this leadership void in the locker room should be placed on Jason Light? I mean, We know that Jason Light has a history of being a somewhat hands-on GM. You know, some games he's on the sidelines, but we know pretty much every game he's around the team. He's around the team at practice. You know, at training camp, you always see him walking around. So they know his face. He's not taking a hands-off approach, and we give him a lot of credit for putting this team together in the first place. So how much credit should he take for maybe some of the drama we're hearing about now?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think it has more to do with coaching. And like the leadership, because Jason Light's not in that locker room every single day. He's not out in the meetings and practice and everything and talking to the team and trying to get them together. So I think it's more on coaching. That being said, yeah, it does matter. I mean, I think you have to find the right guys, right? And that's the toughest thing. Excuse me. That is the toughest thing to me. You can look at the film all you want. You can tell who's a good football player, who's not. It's what's on the, and this is going to sound cliche and it's going to sound corny, but it's what's on the inside that really matters, right? What is in your gut? You know, is there that fire in your gut? Is it in your mind? What's that mindset?
You sound right? like that. You sound like that Arizona coach. Do you see
Jonathan Gannon? Yeah.
You saw the clip of it.
Yeah.
Did you guys drive to work or did you take the bus?
Still. Yeah, that's what Jason Lake should go in there in the meeting room and say that exact speech. But, you know, you have to figure out what's in the mind of a football player. And I think that's the toughest thing for a GM to do. Now, clearly, you know, he's done something right. And there's a lot of people criticizing him. And look, he is not immune to criticism. Like, he is not going to avoid it. Because at the same time, like, yeah, he drafted a lot of these players and he signed these free agents. At the same time, though, this isn't like even like 40-30% his fault. Like, he is a very, very small portion of blame here for me. In a tough situation with the cap, and people are going to, you know, if you're in pro of not getting rid of Todd Bowles, which I don't think there's many out there, there's some because there's those that believe like you can't just keep changing head coaches, right? And that's yeah, true.
I think there are some positive reasons to not get rid of Todd Bowles. Like, I'm not ready to defend him and die on that hill.
What?
Go ahead, finish your point.
No. And his defense, the defense that has been, you know, like regressing. That's what I think is going to doom his job. I think the defense regressing is what's going to doom him. If the offense just sucked and they were losing games like the Atlanta game, 16-13. Okay, you could say, well, you know, we won 7 games. Our offense wasn't really any good. Defense was good, though. Todd Bowles is a defensive guy. He's figured that side of the ball out. Let's keep him for another year. Try to improve the offensive line a little bit. Maybe you find another answer, a quarterback, this and that. But the defense being shredded by C.J. Stroud, have a rookie record, right? And C.J. Stroud's a great player. Like, he is a great football player, but he was still a rookie. The defense being shredded by Brock Purdy yet again, having a perfect passer rating. And then the defense getting shredded by Gardner Minshew. Like, this defense is regressing. And I think that's the thing that's going to cost him his job.
The defense has gotten worse every single week. I know guys are hurt. That was
besides the Tennessee game, which Tennessee is like arguably the worst offensive line in football, a rookie quarterback, and their number one wide receiver is DeAndre Hopkins, but their number two wide receiver is Kyle Phillips. Like,
yeah, he was their leading receiver on the day. Yeah. So the defense has gotten worse. The offense has gotten better as the season has gone on. Rashad White has really come out of his shell. I know, you know, he's still not 100% the running back we want him to be, but last week he finally got that big 38-yard run we've been waiting for. Got 100 yards on 15 carries. Hats off to him. The offense has grown. They have shown growth. And so when I talk about potential upsides of keeping Todd Bowles, that would also mean keeping Dave Canales. And I do think I would like to see what another year of this offense would look like, because I think it does get better. They've shown enough progress to where another year of Canales, consistency, that's the argument that could be made. That's not the argument that I'm making, but that's the argument that could be made. That's all I'm saying.
Could be. It is an argument. It is something that you can say. I just have a hard time believing that. Even like basically like a month from now, that we're not going to be talking about, all right, like, who are some head coaching candidates? And we're not going to get into that right now, because they can still win. They can still make the playoffs. Like, we're not there yet. But like, you know, December 28th, we're recording this on November 28th. December 28th, I think it's going to be pretty apparent as to what's going to happen to Todd Bowles one way or another. You know, and I thought this a little bit too. And I don't personally, I don't think they would, but I would. If the Bucs make the playoffs, right? Let's say they go 8-9, right? They go on a little run here. They win their division game, stuff like that. The Bucs make the playoffs and they lose 31-10 in that playoff game. I'm still firing Todd Bowles. Like, I what's the purpose? That's 2 straight years under 500. And that's 2 straight years you got demolished in the playoffs. What are we doing here? Like, why would I have any confidence that in year 3 it would get any different? Like, I don't know why I would have any, when you don't have as good of a draft pick now. So like, even if you say, oh, get a quarterback, you know, this and that, that's the difference. You're probably not gonna be able to land one now. You know, if you bring Baker Mayfield back, yeah, like, he's been decent, but like, his ceiling is limited. Like, I don't know if they go in there in that playoff game, get demolished and get bounced. I don't think they would fire him, but I would fire him.
I think things are trending that way, for sure. Again, if the Bucks make the playoffs, anything can happen.
I mean, they fired Tony Dungy after he made the playoffs.
You are right.
I mean, it's we've seen this before with the Glazers. I just don't know how. If you're talking about building a culture, yes, it would be making the playoffs in what, four straight seasons, which, you know, for this franchise is a big accomplishment. At the same time, though, like, come on.
It's
like, not even being competitive in those playoff games, though. Is that what you want? Is that the type of culture you want? I don't.
Yeah, definitely not a legacy of greatness. The postseason appearance is important. And I think, you know, honestly, I'm always going to be on the side of if we can make the playoffs, make the playoffs. I would love to see the Bucks somehow go 4-2 and make the postseason, even if they get bounced in the first round. I don't care.
It's fine if you lose in the first round. You can't get blown out in the first round.
Yeah. I took my mom to that playoff game last year. I took my poor mother.
Hey, I mean, hey, look at it this way, though. You saw Tom Brady's final NFL game.
I did.
That's what you can always say that. You can tell your grandkids that. I wish I had that game.
when he got his ass kicked. You know, so as a fan, I always want to see them win. I'm not going to come on this podcast and say, I want them to lose every game so they get a big draft pick. That's stupid. It's a loser mentality. I can't stand it. I hate
Sixers
it.
Sixers fan. That's Sixers fan me.
I hate it. I hate it. I hate when people say that. Because if you want to see the team lose, then just don't watch. Like don't waste your time. You know, if it really offends you that much when they have a good game or when they have a good week of practice, then don't watch. You know, that's what it boils down to. But I really don't think they're going to be able to make that happen as we have this conversation on November 28th. I know
it's 3-3 at best.
3-3 at best. And it's crazy because at the beginning of the season, I mean, after that 3-1 start, when we're going into the bye week, you know, could you imagine how people would feel if you said, oh, the Bucks just got to go 3-3 to make the playoffs? Like, you would think this team was better. And week after week, they just proved to me that they are not. So it is unfortunate.
I mean, look, I tweeted this out on September 25th after they lost to Philly. I said the Bucks next four games at New Orleans versus Detroit versus Atlanta at Buffalo. Yes, they beat New Orleans. But I said despite the 2-0 start, things could get ugly fast. And guess what? they beat New Orleans. They lost to Detroit, lost to Atlanta, lost to Buffalo, then lost to Houston. Things got ugly fast. And then they had a great chance. They rebounded. Their backs were against the wall against Tennessee, right? They rebounded. They won the game. Okay, San Francisco. Sorry, if you expect them to beat the 49ers, like, even with their 3-1 start, like, you're out of your mind. Like, they weren't beating the 49ers team. The 49ers are one of the most talented teams in football on the road. You know, the West Coast wasn't happening. But you had a great opportunity to come back and just rebound from that and not let this thing snowball. And instead, it's another loss. And now you're looking at basically having to play almost perfect football down the stretch to even have a chance at making the playoffs. And even perfect football, if you go 4-2, there's no guarantee you make the playoffs because right now you're a game behind both New Orleans and Atlanta has a game in hand because they beat you. So even if you go 4-2 down a stretch, there's still no guarantee you're making the playoffs because you let these things snowball. You lost the game to Atlanta. You lost the game to Houston when you had to leave with 46 seconds left. You lost the game to Indy. Like, that stuff matters right now. And unfortunately, you know, we didn't plan for this entire podcast to be Todd Bowles talk, but it sort of turned into that. But it's what the people want to hear. It's what the people want to discuss. And that's what we're here to talk about. Now, it isn't time for mock drafts and stuff like that. Like, trust me, I've done them, but that's just me. I was doing them freaking week three. Like, that's just how I am. That's not really a lack of faith in the Bucks. That's just me loving the drafts and seeing what, you know, you can do. But it's not time for that yet. Like, there will be a time on this podcast. Like, you know, and also for the people that are saying, oh, if, you know, he's going to be fired midseason. No, he's not. Like he's not. It would have to be I will say this. If they lose on Sunday to Carolina, if they lose, I think there's a non-zero chance that he's fired midseason. because that loss to Carolina would be bad. That would be three straight losses. That'd be seven of your last eight. You'd be 4-8, losing to a 1-10 Carolina team at home against a rookie quarterback and an interim head coach. That's bad. It would still be very, very, very unlikely that they would fire Todd Bowles. That they've never done it, right? And I know there's a first time for everything. Like, I understand that. But, like, they've never fired a head coach midseason. It hasn't happened. Like, you know, Scott Reynolds, I think, points out Raheem Morris lost 10 straight games during the 2011 season. Everybody knew he was getting fired at the end of the season, but they allowed him to go on and lose 10 straight games. And some of those Bucs teams were not competitive at all. Todd Bowles' teams, like, I think the Bucs are competitive. Like, you know, the Indies game, that was a competitive game. The Houston game was competitive. Like,
I think that's
what it would take for him to get fired. And they're just not there.
They're the best of the worst. They're the best of the worst. And they're the best of the worst because they can't even always beat the teams that they should beat. But I want to end this on a positive note.
Can we stop saying that, though? The teams that they should beat? Why should they beat them?
Well, they shouldn't, because, I mean, they can't.
Yeah, exactly. We're talking about, like, just like you said, though, or just like you said a few minutes ago, you can't rely on the Bucs to win any more games. Like, you're going to be going into this Carolina game being like, well, I think they're going to win, but, you know, whereas, you know, like the beginning of the season, the Chicago game, you're like, yeah, they should win. And then you were sitting there with the Tennessee game. Yeah, they should win. Even after they had lost four straight, you were like, yeah, they should win this game against Tennessee. And now it's like all pretty much gone. So, like, you're heading to that Carolina game, like, oh, I guess the Bucs should win, but man, it wouldn't be a shock if they lost. Like, you know, like, because nothing right now with this team comes easy. And this is, like you said, it's a perfect recipe shaping up for a Bucs loss. I mean, interim head coach, rookie quarterback, they just fired their coach. The Bucs are sort of reeling. Quotes come out of the locker room, this and that. I mean, it's all sort of shaping up for a Bucs loss. Now, will it be? I don't think so, but it wouldn't be a shocker.
Our buddy Willie Beeman, the moderator in chat, brings up, what's up with these rumors about Bill Belichick reuniting with Jason Light in Tampa? We're not going to talk about it. We're not doing that today,
Willie.
It's
also, it's the same dude who said Tom Brady was going to be a 49er.
So. We're not doing it today. We're not doing it on Friday.
Not happening, so.
We may not even do it next week. Maybe 3 weeks to a month from now we can start talking about that, but not today. Not in November. Still six games left on the schedule. But I do want to wrap up this Todd Bowles slander podcast with a little bit of positivity, and it co-aligns with your new series Studs and Duds here on the YouTube channel. If people who are not familiar, or if you only listen on audio, youtube.com/Cannon Fire Podcast. You can also find some more videos from us during the week.
Yes. And only available on YouTube. So if you listen on audio, we appreciate that, but you can only find those videos available on YouTube.
I wanted to talk about the young guys on this team who have been stepping up, and the most recent news being rookie outside linebacker Yaya Diaby has now made it above Joe Tryon Soyinka on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers depth chart at the outside linebacker position. Yaya Diaby, Kalijah Kancey have been kicking ass. Ravassier Dennis, I know he didn't play the best, but he got his first real meaningful reps in the NFL this last weekend. And, you know, without Lavonte David out there and Devin White having such a terrible game, very big shoes to fill. Very tough situation to be in, and we saw how lost this defense was without 54 out there. But, you know, I think we look ahead to what the Bucs are going to have to be positive about, and I'm excited about potentially this new and improved young Buccaneers defensive line. They have exceeded a lot of my expectations this year.
Yeah, they need, you know, the defensive line needs a few more pieces, but I'll say I think it's pretty close. Kalijah Kancey, obviously, I noted this in the Studs and Duds. I would have loved to have seen what he would have looked like with a full training camp, full preseason, and a healthy whole season, right? People always note that, okay, yeah, he missed some games here, but like he missed the entire training camp and preseason. Like, I would have loved to have seen what he would look like right now with all those reps, because those are such valuable reps. And not only did he miss that, he missed like a part of the season, right? He played the first game, a few snaps, and then was out for the next four or five games. So he's missed a ton of reps.
He has missed a ton of reps. By the way, he is tied for first in the NFL for TFLs among rookies.
Nice. Yeah, I mean, that speaks for itself. I don't even need to say much else. Like, that shows the production that he's had. Yeah, it's looking like he's a good one. Like, it's looking like a hit. And I talked about that before the draft. I was like, this 19th overall pick, whoever it is, like, Jason Light has to nail it. Like, has to nail it, right? Joe Tryon-Shoyinka kind of looking like a miss. And I'm a JTS fan. Like, if you listen to this podcast a long time, you know that. But I'm running out of ammo to be able to defend him. Looking like a miss. Logan Hall looking like a miss. Like, those are his first two draft picks, the last 2021, 2022. He needed 2023 to be a hit, and so far it looks like it. Now, Yaya Diaby, yes, come on, he got a little bit banged up in the game against Indy. Hopefully he's okay. Obviously the Bucks don't practice today. They'll practice tomorrow. So we'll see about Jamel Dean or Lavonte David or even Baker Mayfield, because you know, that ankle, man, we'll have to see. But as far as Yaya Diaby goes, yeah, his development's good. And like, do I think he's going to become this star pass rusher that's getting doubled in attacks every year? No, but like, I don't. Like, and that's why I say, like, they need more, but like, it's two really good building blocks there along the defensive line. And that's where I think you need to start. Vita Vea is not, it's not like Vita Vea is 32 years old. Like, Vita Vea is like, what, 28, 29 years old. He still has 3, 4, 5 years left, you know, to really be a productive player. So I think this defensive line can really be a strength of his team quickly. Now, has it been this year? No, it has not been. Particularly rushing the passer, it has not been. But, and that's why I said they're not a finished product. Like, they need more. They need more development from Kalijah Kansi and Yaya Diaby. But, and even guys like Savasi Dennis, like you said, that's a tough role. You know, I mean, Lavonte David's arguably the best player on the defense. Like, I'd say you could make the case for Lavonte David or Vita Vea.
He is because we saw it. We saw lost the defense was on Sunday. There were time and time again. I mean, there was a point.
They gave up 39 to Houston with them. I mean, I'm sorry, but they did.
I don't know. I think they were definitely not in the right headspace on Sunday. Guys couldn't tackle. They ran all over us.
What else is that? That's every game.
Christian Izzy.
Which game are we talking about here?
Christian Izzy came off of the sidelines. I don't know if you noticed this, but he came off of the sidelines, looked at Todd Bowles, because Todd Bowles had to wave him off of the sideline to get into the play, and then he didn't know what he was doing. So he was just looking
around.
He's
an undrafted free agent.
All right, Evan.
Give him some slack. But anyways, Servasi Dennis, I mean, I thought he played fine. I mean, you know, it wasn't like spectacular by any means, but he was the best linebacker the Bucks had on Sunday, which, you know, if you know the other linebacker the Bucks have, that's not really a surprise, but it's also saying something. So, I mean, yeah, if he can be a developmental guy, I mean, that guy maybe like sort of like that guy to sub in, right? Lavonte David is not going to play football forever. Like, matter of fact, like, Lavonte David may not be playing football next year. Like, I think, you know, he's taking 1 year deals for a reason. Like, he is on a year to year thing right now. So Lavonte David may not play football forever. Devin White may not be, and I think most likely won't be back in Tampa Bay next year. So Servasi Dennis could have an even bigger role next year. And yeah, it's a good problem to have with the young players. Now, young players, just like you said with Christian Izzy, young players are going to make mistakes. And I think Christian Izzy, while maybe not a starter, I think early on in the season, he was playing good. He's slowed down a little bit, but I think again, he can be a good depth piece for you. And that's good to have cheap, young depth. So you can spend money, like bigger money on your starters is huge for team building, to not have to spend too much money on depth. I think is really good. And, the Bucks so far, the 2023 rookie class is looking pretty strong. So hopefully though, with a potential top 10 pick, you can even build on that for 2024. And if you can hit a few home runs in 2024, the 2024 draft, you could be looking at a very quick turnaround for this thing.
Yeah, getting close, couple of pieces away. Still need, you know, that big-time edge rusher, the big difference maker. We're hoping JTS could evolve into something like that, but he just hasn't.
Not going to.
Yeah, he just hasn't. He just got jumped by a rookie on the depth chart, so that tells you how his season is going and his potential future here in Tampa Bay. Shaq Barrett, I know it's been a tough year, but he's also been underperforming, and the Bucks are going to have to take a serious look at what his future looks like as well, because they're going to have to get some of these guys off of the books as they take a look ahead at who's going to be here and who will not in 2024. But ladies and gentlemen, That's just about going to do it for this week's episode of the Cannon Fire Podcast. We will talk to you on Friday for the game preview show. We're going to try and have some guests. I'm not entirely sure who it's going to be yet, but somebody who is up to speed on the Carolina Panthers. We can promise you that. So be on the lookout for that. Subscribe to the YouTube
channel.
Frank Reich. Yeah. Frank Reich. He's not doing much of anything lately. So maybe we could, ring up the old ball coach there and get some insight from him. Subscribe to
or,
the show.
Hey, or ex-Buccaneer Josh McCown, who was also fired, too. Call him up.
Yeah, that is true. Fired from
Carolina. He was their quarterbacks coach.
Oh, no kidding. I forgot he was on that staff.
Yeah.
Last I had heard, he was in Houston. And then I guess he went over.
Well, now he can be if he wants to be.
Yeah, no kidding. Subscribe to the show on YouTube, youtube.com/CannonFirePodcast. You can find us live and also more great news about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. With videos all week long. Exclusive content by the fans, for the fans. Follow us on social media, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. All of those are Cannon Fire Podcast. Best place to go for updates on the show. And, of course, Tampa Bay Buccaneer news as it happens. Speaking of Bucs news as it happens, you can follow my co-host Evan on Instagram at Bucs_daily. You can also find him on Twitter at EvanNFL and check out his written work at BucsNation.com. What can the people expect this week?
Yeah, still going to be taking... I haven't finished it yet, but going to be taking a look at Devin White and his potential future in Tampa Bay. Sometime later this week, so stay tuned for that.
Looking forward to it. Last but not least, you can find myself Instagram and Twitter /X at Rheticus, Rhettakus. If you follow me, I will follow you back. But that's the show. We'll talk to you on Friday. Thank you again for hanging out with us live today. Let's do it again on Friday. I'm your host, Rhett Matthews, signing off from our co-host, Evan Wanish. We'll talk to you in the next one. Until then, and as always, thank you for listening, and go Bucs.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.